I have just a short few comments that I want to share this morning. I'll tell you, I'm very humbled to stand up here in front of you this morning on Christmas Day and on this beautiful occasion that we have. I recognize that, you know, really there's all of you have your thoughts in a lot of different directions today, don't you? You woke up, a lot of things going on, probably yesterday. A lot of things going on throughout the rest of the day. So I'd ask you to just take a pause, take a deep breath. Let it out. All right. And I'd ask you to give me probably 15, 20 minutes. Give me your thoughts, give me your mind, give me your attention just for a few minutes. Because I challenge each of you to take one or two things away from my comments this morning. Not that it is my message, not that it is me talking, but hopefully, you know, that recognition to Christ. My sermon this morning is not going to be a traditional Christmas sermon. But I hope that we walk away with that focus and that attention on Christ. You know, how many of you, I guess a question, why do you go to a birthday party? You don't have to answer it, but I want you to think about it. You know, why do you go to a birthday party? Do you go to a birthday party because all of a sudden you're just going to show up and crash somebody's party because they have cake and they have ice cream and they're celebrating something, right? But no, we go because we have a relationship. We have a connection. We have a friendship. We have a bond. And so today, as we recognize Christ's birth, as we recognize the birth of Christ in our lives, you know, I want to start with that first verse that I have up there on the screen. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know, in that celebration of a birthday party, you know, you have a connection. And so my hope is that as you walk away from here, is that you have a renewed connection to Christ, to that relationship that we individually have. You know, I think about it with my own boys and my own the relationship that my boys have with Christ. You know, I can tell them all I want of what they can do and what they can believe and what they can see. But ultimately, they have to walk away with their own relationship in Christ. And so my hope is today is that we walk away with a relationship with Christ. Okay, so on with the non-traditional part. This is the only screen I have. This is the only picture that I have, and I'm going to ask you to just not focus on this too much yet, because I want to talk about this, but how many of you have heard or remember the Chilean mining accident that happened back in 2010? You remember that? So there's some details that I'll share with you, but to me, this is just some pictures that really highlighted and kind of reinforced the message. So as you can think now, as I say, this is a non-traditional sermon for Christmas morning. Not too often have you seen the Chilean miners accident put up on the screen, but we're going to talk about that a little bit. I want to start off, and I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes, the second chapter. I have just a few verses, few scriptures that I'm going to read this morning. This one is a fairly long one, and I have one other fairly long, but then just a couple short scriptures that I want to read. But remember, I want you to think about that connection with Christ. You know, Ecclesiastes is not a scripture that you would typically read on Christmas morning. I don't know that any of you probably got up this morning and read this before coming or reading this to your family on Christmas morning. But I want you to think about what really Solomon is speaking. And Solomon, a very wise man, I think you would agree. Solomon, you know, in today's terms, probably a very successful person. And I've been drawn to this lately, and I've been reading out of Ecclesiastes, and even, you know, this is a hard scripture to read, and it's a hard thing to understand, but I would just ask you to think in very simple terms as I read through this. Starting at the fourth verse in the second chapter, this is Solomon speaking, I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water, to water wherewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and peculiar treasure of kings of the provinces. I get me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom and remained with me. You know, Solomon, as he's speaking here and as he's talking about all of the great things that he has accomplished, all of the great things in his life. Recognize the goodness and the greatness that has been given to Solomon. On this morning, on this Christmas morning, I hope that we take time to reflect on the goodness and the greatness that we have been afforded, the good things that we have been given. Are there challenges in our life? Absolutely. What would life be without challenges, without pitfalls, without stumbles? But also recognize and take that time today to reflect upon all of the greatness that God has given us. He continues on. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, and as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as I happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise than I said in my heart that this is also is vanity? For there is no remembrance of the wise more than the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over my labor, wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise unto the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and great evil. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all the days are sorrows and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather up and heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. You know, many times throughout the first and the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, he talks about this vanity and vexation of spirit. You know, how many things in our lives, you know, recognize, you know, today is an awesome opportunity to step back and recognize, you know, the vanity, the things that go on in our lives. We've got to step away from that. If even for a moment and take a break, recognize the goodness that God has given. You know, recognize the path that God can lay out for us. You know, my challenge to each of us as we think about these scriptures, as we think about these words, as being read by Solomon, that calling to each of us, recognition to God and his greatness and the goodness that he gives. You know, I want you to focus now on the screen and take a look up here. As I said, the Chilean mining accident, you know, there were 33 men that were trapped 2,300 feet underground. 2,300 feet, that's deep, right? You can just imagine the depth and the gravity of what they faced. So the part that really stood out to me and the thing that I want you to think about. So I never thought I was a claustrophobic person until one time my boys and I went on a roller coaster ride when we were on a trip. And I was in this roller coaster, and we were getting ready to take off, and I like a little bit of room in there. And Braden reaches over one point and says, "Dad, you got to tighten that up." Man, it tightened down. I'm like, okay, all right, well, man, I can feel that. Go on the ride, and we go through the ride, and all of a sudden the ride stops, and I'm stuck. And I never thought I was claustrophobic. I never thought that stuff would bother me, but oh, man, it bothered me that day. And so you think about these miners that are down in this cave that are 2,300 feet down, and it's like the walls are coming in on them. You know, for 17 days, they went without knowing if anybody knew they were alive or if anybody up top that knew that they were alive down below. 17 days. In the top right corner of my screen is a pipe. And really, if anything, if you can look at that pipe and focus in on that pipe, and that's what I really want to focus in here. You know, there was this single pipe that became the one connection for food and all needed supplies. Now, there's tons of different parallels that you can draw with this. As we think about our life with Christ, as we think about our connection with Christ, you know, we can look at, and my hope is that if you take one thing away, what is your connection with Christ? What is your connection? What is that pipeline that you have, that one single pipe that feeds you everything that you have? 33 men, 69 days, stuck down in this cave, stuck down in the bottom. You know, think about patience. Do you have patience? I look at a few of my family members, my aunts, you know, I recognize I love them all, right? But are we a patient people? Right? We're going to take action. Do you take action? You know, you think about, were they prepared to be down in that cave for 69 days? No, you know, when 17 days passed, the little sign that's in the bottom left corner of the screen was stuck to the drill bit. As it came down in and it poked through, and they stuck that sign, or they stuck that onto the drill bit. It said, "We are fine in the refuge." You know, think about that. 69 days, trapped underground, 2,300 feet underground. Are you a control person? Right? Do you want to control things that go on in your life? I witnessed one of our sisters not too long ago. She couldn't control what was going on in her. She was struggling physically. But as she asked to be a minister to, as she looked up, and as later as she talked and talked to my wife and told her about the experience, you know, she saw God. She felt God there by her side. And as each of us, as we have that opportunity, you know, we don't know when that cave is going to come in. We don't know when that challenge is going to face us. And you know what? I would be upset with you if you were worried about it. Live your life. Look forward to the great things that we have around us. Look forward to the beautiful message that God has given us. But recognize the reality and turn unto Christ and know that He is your guide. Know that He is there for you. You know, I'm a planning person. I want to plan things out. Do you think these 33 guys planned for this to happen that day? No, not at all. Did they practice just in case that something would happen? Yeah, absolutely. And that probably helped save them. There's so many different things that I can talk about here and that you can touch on, and so many parallels. And I really don't want to take away from the message of Christ, the message of Christ's birth. Recognize the greatness that that is given. How many of you know that Christ was born? I mean, really, everybody could raise your hand, right? Why do you believe that Christ was born? Did you see it? Were you there? Why do you believe? We have a faith. We have a belief. We have a recognition to the greatness that Christ gives. You know, there are so many things, you know, I can look at, and I could spend time telling you, oh man, well, we got this going on in my life, or this challenge that I'm facing, or this stumbling block. Today, the great part about today is we get to set that aside. Right? Set that aside and look at the greatness of God. Look at the greatness of his plan and that which he has given. Turn with me to Mark, the first chapter. Mark, the first chapter, and I'm going to read from the 40th through the 45th verse. You know, and there's a couple key points that I want you to think about as I read this. And you've heard this story. This is not anything new. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. You know, and there are two parts, and this to me is the first part. You know, recognize, you know, here was a leper that came to Christ, and he said, as Christ was on earth and as he was walking, and he saw this man, you know, this man said to him, Christ, if it be thou will, if it is thy will you bless me? Will you heal me? You know, I'm reminded of that, and in my own prayers, in my own way that I pray, you know, when I kneel down, I pray that the Lord's will be done. Recognize that. Recognize the greatness and how many times that he has blessed us, that he has given. And then to the second part of that verse and kind of the next part that stands out. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and saith unto him, see thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. You know, that's the second part, and that part can be a little confusing, isn't it? Right, you think about the verse, and here is a man that said, you know, Christ, if it be thy will, bless me, heal me, make me whole, make me complete. And so Christ heals him, and Christ touches him, and he says, go and tell no one but the priest. And what does he do? He goes out and he tells everybody. If you're blessed, what do you want to do? You want to tell everybody. I've been blessed. This is great. This is awesome. This is amazing. But Christ told him, you know, and I found this commentary for this, and I want to read this. This incident of the cleansed leper justifies Jesus' decision to emphasize preaching instead of healing. The leper's disobeying Jesus' command to inform no one but the priest of his healing indicates that although he was cleansed physically, he remained uncleansed inwardly or spiritually. The healing of man's sins, infected soul, is therefore far more important than the healing of his body. The people's enthusiasm over miracles hinders Jesus' freedom to preach, causing him to remain in the desert places. You know, recognize Christ's desire for us. Not just a physical healing. Does he bless us? Absolutely. I've got testimonies of times my finger was cut off and I know that I was healed. I've got times when my eye was burnt and I know that I was healed. I've got times that I've seen some of my brothers and sisters that have had challenges that face them and I know they've been healed. Give praise for that. Give thanksgiving. Give recognition to Christ's birth and that time that he has given. But also recognize the strength that we have to have within us. Our foundation has to be built. Our relationship with Christ has to be rock solid. You know, we've all heard the verse, John 3:16, read many times, spoken many times, very common in our world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, and again, I want that everlasting life. And so my challenge to each one of us, and again, as I said, this was going to be very short. My challenge to each one of us is I want you to focus in on your relationship with Christ. Your connection with Christ. Your need for Christ in your life. Because if you walk away from here and you think of nothing else, think of your relationship, your connection. I want you to turn to 1 John, the 4th chapter. And I'm going to start at the 4th verse. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested with love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he is in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can we love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. And you know, I just think this is vital. And I think right here in this 1 John, the 4th chapter, the 4th through the 21st verse, that is the Christmas message. That is the message of that love that Christ has for us, that God has for us, and that we have for him. And my hope is that we take this message, we take this thought, you know, there's nothing that I can bring you that you don't already know. But my challenge to each of us is that we take this love and we take this message from here and we share it with our brothers and sisters. We share it as we meet people and greet people, as we drive down the road, as we walk across the street, as we see our loved ones and we see our friends and we see those that we don't know. It's that message of love. It's that message that we have been taught, that we have been shown, and that we have been given. Merry Christmas to each of you.